But he said, he that know to do good and don't do it, it is a sin unto you. He said, blessed was those that keep the commandments and teach other folks to keep these commandments. But cursed is he that don't keep them and then got the nerve to teach other folks it's okay, long as you in a church. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners and for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. That boy killed his mama today. In the midst of all them little children, he killed his mama too. Children, time is winding up. And evil is waxing hotter and hotter. And it's designed. It's been designed to mislead you. But you know the truth. For we know that the law is good. I don't care what nobody say, for we know the law is good. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, and it's going on, children. You say, I don't believe that nobody, it's going on, children. For men stealers, for liars, for perjured person, and just in case, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, just in case I didn't put something in here, every other thing that's contrary to the word of God, stay away from, children. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who have enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurer, but I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy. I was a whoremonger once. I was a liar once. I was a proud person. I was a talebearer. I was a mess maker. I was a thief. I was a backstabber. But thank God for the mercy. Thank God for his mercy. And your flesh is the only one that keeps bringing it back up. That's why God told us in the beginning, you bind up your flesh. For now there is for no condemnation in them which believe in Christ Jesus. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what he came here for. All we got to do is repent, children. The devil don't want you to know it's that easy. Repent for it. That's what his blood was for. For our sins. For our sins. Your flesh causes you to sin, allow you to sin, and then it put condemnation upon you. Look what you done. God can't forgive you for this. God say, I can forgive you for all sin, children. 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. He did it for me first. So now I can have compassion on you. And you can have compassion on your brothers and your sisters. This is a time and a day that we're going to have to learn how to be long-suffering, children. How many times am I supposed to forgive them? Is seven enough? No, no, you got to keep on forgiving them. You got to keep on forgiving them. Because God kept on forgiving you. Because God keep on forgiving you. Learn to show them more love. Learn to have more compassion on them. They may not be running this race as strong as you think they should. They may not be coming to church as much as you think. They may not be speaking in tongues. But learn to be long-suffering with them. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Long-suffering. For a pattern, 16th verse, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal. That's why I say, take me to the King. Take me to the King. He's the one that can fix all things. He's the one that can forgive me my sins. He's the one that won't keep bringing it back up to me. He's the one that loves me no matter what shape I'm in. He's the one that hears my prayer. He hears me in the nighttime when I'm crying, in the closet, down the roads, and all the pain, all the suffering. As I go, please take me to the King. Please take me to the King. He's the one that teach me how to love my brothers. He's the one that teach me how to have compassion on someone else. Please, my body is broken down. My strength is getting weak. Take me to the King. Take me to the King. For an offering, I have to offer up this body as a living sacrifice every day, all day long. Please take me to the King. My strength is weakening in me. Take me to the King. Take me to the King. Take me to the King. For an offering. For an offering. Please. I've got a dying world out there. Your flesh got you worried about your fires. Worried about the fact that your shoes are too tight. He said, but I've got children that don't even have shoes to put on their feet. You worried about not having enough money to make it to next week. He said, I've got children that don't have a dime, not even a penny in their pocket. You worried about all the stress that you're going through. He said, I've got children that don't know about me. Will you please take them to the King? Tell them about me. Tell them about me. I'm full of grace and mercy. Will you bring them to the King? Just the way they are. Just the way they are. Don't you try to clean them up. Don't you try to change them. You just tell them about me. And every minute, every hour, every day, every week that you spend for me, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give it back to you, children. Your flesh wants you to keep looking at you. God said, but if you look at them, if you look the need for them, I will take care of you. We'll tell them about that eternal King. I don't care how many kings come. I'm the eternal King. I am the Alpha, the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I created all this stuff by myself. I created all of it for myself. I was there from the beginning and I'll be there in the end. Bring them to the King. Bring them to the King. Let's give the Lord a hand clap.
We are in hopes that you enjoyed our message today and we're truly blessed. Each month, our ministry provides free food and clothing on the first and third Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. for all men, women, and children. For more information, please call 337-238-0314. Praise be to God for our founder and pastor, Annie Mulberry. Be blessed. In Jesus' name, until we meet again, this same time next week.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
You've just tuned in to the outreach ministries of the Mount Calvary Baptist Church, located 320 Daspit Street in Alexandria, Louisiana. Reverend Ronnie Humphrey Sr. is the pastor. We are a church of the living word, preaching and teaching the word, thereby fulfilling God's command as stated in Mark 16:15 to go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At Mount Calvary Baptist Church, leading to others is the church's first priority. Now join Pastor Humphrey in a sermon already in progress.
And it was your grace and your mercy y'all must not know it's the first year, the first week in the new year. Everybody here that came through 2017, sing that again for me. Through many dangers, tars and snares, I've already come. Thank you, Jesus. Sing like it's a new year. So many tars and so many snares. I've already. He brought you over. Nothing but grace. So safe. So safe. And that same grace. Seated. Father, we thank you right now. Thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. So much for bringing us through, bringing us over, bringing us around, bringing us under. Whatever way you brought us, we're glad that you brought us. Asking right now, Lord, that you continue to shine your light upon us. Now as your word comes forth, we ask, Lord, that It comes forth like it should. Make me your mouthpiece and your sounding board, so that I may bring it like you want me to, and prayerfully not ever drive anybody away, but only to draw people to you. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Once again, Happy New Year. I'm going to apologize that the tree is not down. We were supposed to come over yesterday, but we had an appointment to go to, and was too tired yesterday afternoon. So we're going to shine on a little while longer with the tree. It'll be gone by next week, okay? Amen. Isn't that something? I didn't want the tree here. Now it doesn't look like I can get rid of it. Amen. The things you do for love. I think it's a song by that name, ain't it? Amen. Amen. It's a new year. A new beginning. Somebody getting a new start, amen? But I want to talk to you from an old passage, one of my favorites. You'll recognize it. We'll talk a little bit about that and try to shine some light on what we've been through and what we pray that God would bring us through for this year. Amen. Acts 9 chapter, if you will, starting at the first verse. I'll give you a chance to get there. Let me just say, a new understanding can sometimes bring a new direction. When you understand things a little bit better, you can aim at a better target, if you will. A new responsibility can bring a new direction. Amen. When we were having kids, every time we had another kid, I was like, oh Lord, I got to kick it a little harder. Amen. So, you know, but a new year can bring a new direction. Acts 9 chapter, starting at the first verse, reads like this. And you know this story. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Simply put, our subject for today is a new direction. A new direction. You see, we must all be susceptible to direction. Can I get a witness? Even if you're doing wrong, you got to know how to follow directions. Amen. When you find out that your present direction is not beneficial to you, then you must be amenable to a new direction. Common sense and understanding should kick in. If you're doing something that is counterproductive, and you're continually bumping your head against the wall, and the wall doesn't move, you need a new direction, amen? Yes, Saul of Tarsus. Saul was a government agent. Born in Tarsus to well-off parents. Educated in the Jerusalem faith in Jerusalem. He worked for the anti-Christian Sanhedrin Council, amen, which was a government, if you will, agency. Saul had been taking direction all his life, but it wasn't always the best direction. Amen. Sometimes we think we know something, and we get to be older and older, and in our old age we realize, hey, that wasn't right. But it's never ever too late to turn around. I don't care how old you are. It's sometimes hard to convince people they need a new direction. Some folks just don't get it. Saul thought he was doing right. Saul had arrest powers. Oh, yeah. But he didn't arrest criminals. He arrested and persecuted Christians. And he was feared for his tenacity. Amen. When he came at you, he was coming to get you. Society and peer pressure told him he was doing the right thing. Amen. And that's a message to our young people. Sometimes peer pressure make you think you're doing the right thing. But it's how Saul was trained, and he was good at it. He had no plans to stop till Jesus came in his life. Sometimes we don't have any plans to quit doing what we're doing until we have an encounter with the Lord. Saul was so sure of himself till he wouldn't wait for a mission. He'd go ask for one. Verse 9, 1 and 2 says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings, still threatening people, and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. He didn't wait to be called. He went there. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, any Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Remember I said Saul had arrest powers? He went to the high priest to get some arrest warrants. That's basically what he got. And if he was going to find anybody that was worshiping Jesus, he could bring them bound. Not just say, come on, go with me. Lock them up and bring them back to Jerusalem. Amen. But you see, mankind alone could not have convinced Saul that he needed a new direction. Sometimes we tell people over and over again, and it just doesn't do any good. You just got to turn them over to the Lord. Amen. Only the presence of Jesus can really make somebody turn around. Sometimes wrongdoing is buried deep down in your soul, and you need the shovel of salvation in order to dig it out. Can I get a witness? And we all need to look at the road signs sometime. See, when you're traveling, you need to be able to look at the signs. If you want to get direction, have you ever wondered why road signs are accompanied by bright flashing lights? Because you can't ignore bright lights. They get your attention, amen? Road closed, men at work, detour, whatever it may say, you can't ignore them. But if the light is bright enough, it'll get your attention day or night. 9:3 says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. You see, Saul had traveled many, many roads, but he had never, ever encountered a light from heaven. He had journeyed far and wide. He went 140 miles from Jerusalem to Damascus to try to arrest some Christians. Amen, but he was not prepared for this road sign that came upon him. You see, he was accompanied by his deputies, and when he saw the light, the deputies saw the light also. Amen. Sometimes you can just be in the presence of evil. Like I tell young people all the time, they say, well, I wasn't doing anything. I was just with them. Well, if you with them, amen, either you're going to see the light or you're going to get a new direction. Can I get a witness? Sometimes you can be on the right road, but just going the wrong way. Your friends might ask you, why don't you just turn around? Amen. You know, it seems like it's a simple thing. Just turn around. But verse 9:4 says this, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul. Even Jesus wanted to know, even though he already knew. He was asking Saul for his own edification. Why persecuted thou me? Why do you keep going down this wrong direction? What's on your mind? Amen. You know, you need to meet Jesus on the road of life. And you get orders for a new direction. You might not think you're prepared for your new direction. But if Jesus sends you, then I promise you he'll prepare you. You see, Saul was prepared for his old direction. Had a whole bunch of arrest warrants in his pocket. Probably had his chains and handcuffs, Ed, along with him, ready to bound somebody down and bring him to Jerusalem. But Jesus intervened. You might need a spiritual intervention every now and then in order to change your direction. Verse 9 and 6 says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. See, Jesus gave Saul his new direction. And even though physically he never changed directions, spiritually he changed direction 180 degrees. The road became a whole lot straighter. Can I get a witness? Sometimes we're traveling down a curvy road. And you know, when you're driving in the curves, you got to slow down. In other words, if you don't slow down, you might go off the side. But you need a straight road so you don't have to worry about falling in a ditch. You don't have to worry about hitting a tree. You don't have to worry about getting over in the weeds. Acts 9 and 11 says this, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Straight. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. This is the Lord's message to Ananias. Somebody who was afraid of Saul. But he wanted Saul, wanted Ananias to know that Saul was on a straight street. Now, can I get a witness? I don't know about you, but some of us need to get a straight direction. Because we've been driving in the curves far too long. Can I get a witness? And every time you look around, we got to get a rocker truck to come and pull us out of the ditch somewhere. But it's time to get a new direction. You see, Jesus will show you the way. We don't have to stay on the wrong road. Just ask God through his son Jesus. James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In other words, whatever you want to know, you can ask God. If you don't think that Ronnie has the right answer, you can ask God. If the deacons don't have the right answer, you can ask God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally, and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. All you got to do is ask. You see, God gave his only begotten son to show us the way. He gave us Jesus so we don't have to stay on a curvy road all the time. Can I get a witness? You see, his birth showed us the way. Can I get a witness? His life showed us the way. Isn't that right? His death showed us the way. And then his resurrection showed us the way. And his return is going to show us the way. Can I get a witness? Because he will come back to get a church. It will not only lead us the way, it'll show us the way. A new direction doesn't always mean that you were doing something wrong. Sometimes God just wants to enlarge your territory. Can I get a witness? But in Saul's case, he thought that what he had learned all his life was the right thing. Sometimes you have to put aside tradition. Can I get a witness? Sometime you got to put aside what you learn in your neighborhood.